produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
All right, I'm going to be reading this morning from the New Living Translation of the Bible, Exodus chapter 12. We'll start reading again at verse 1. It says, "While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family..." Somebody got excited about a new beginning. Amen. This month. All right. Anyway, announce to the whole community of Israel, I'm glad that y'all are listening, that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. What? It's the 10th. I didn't even realize. Wait a minute. All right. Amen. All right. All right, the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, each a sheep or a goat with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and on the top of the door frames of their houses where they eat the animal. Again, verse 7, they are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and on the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. That same night, they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast or unleavened bread. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, the legs, the internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning." This sounds a lot like the death, the burial, and the resurrection. All right. "These are your instructions for eating this animal. Be fully dressed. Wear your sandals. Carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On the night I will pass through the land of Egypt, and I will strike down every firstborn son and every firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord." Verse 13, final verse says, "But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt." One more time in your hearing, verse 13 of chapter 12, it says, "But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt." The word of the Lord is blessed. You may be seated. On your way down, just tell your neighbor, "It can't touch me. It can't touch me. It can't touch me. Father, I thank you for your word. Today is the entrance of your word that give it light. and you give understanding to the simple. And so let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Father, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. I yield myself completely and totally to you. Your word is already anointed. Now anoint your vessel to speak forth your word with clarity and precision. And I give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we continue our series, Marked by the Blood. And so we're going to continue in that today. Last Sunday, we talked about the benefits of the blood, the benefits of the blood. We listed in that very powerful message six benefits of being covered by the blood of Jesus. And so on Wednesday night, we went deeper and talked about pleading the blood. What does that mean to plead the blood, and can we do that? And we opened it up and said that, yes, we can plead the blood. The blood speaks. Say that with me. The blood speaks. Bible and science teaches us that the blood or blood has a sound. It has a vibration. It has a frequency at which you can hear that vibration. In Genesis 4 and 10, we were there Wednesday night. It talked about Abel's blood, and it said that when Cain killed Abel, Abel's blood began to cry out from the ground. It began to give out a sound from the ground, and so blood speaks. In Hebrews 12 and 24, we are told that Jesus' blood also cries out. Amen. The text says that the blood of Jesus, it speaks a better word, and it speaks about better things than Abel's blood. And so Abel's blood, as we talked about Wednesday, cried out judgment. It cried out condemnation. It cried out guilt. It cried out even vengeance. But the blood of Jesus cries out better things like salvation, restoration, forgiveness, healing, redemption, hope, peace, all of those better things. Somebody say this with me. The blood is speaking for me. I'll say that one more time. The blood is speaking for me. And so when we plead the blood of Jesus, we are just coming into verbal agreement with what the blood has already said about the matter. Amen. And so for the title of today's message, I'm going to just use our series title, Marked by the Blood. Marked by the Blood. I just want to remind us this morning of what it means to be marked. That's our thing for the entire year, right? This is the year of the mark. And so to be marked, it means to be set apart. It means to be anointed. It also means to be chosen, to be consecrated. It means to have the seal of God and his stamp of approval on your life. And so this month, I'm letting you know that we have been marked by the blood of Jesus. We have been marked by the blood of Jesus. Anybody grateful? I see some hands going up, some swaying to the side, because we're grateful that we've been marked, we've been set apart, we've been set aside, we've been consecrated by the blood of Jesus. I said something Wednesday that I need to repeat today here in my introduction, because it is the foundation of today's message. Here's what I said. Bloodshed begins covenants. Y'all remember that? Bloodshed begins covenants. So the blood of Jesus established a new covenant between God and man. Okay, the blood of Jesus establishes what? A new covenant between God and between man. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 18 says to us that even the first covenant was inaugurated by blood. So the first covenant that God had with his people, dating all the way back to Moses, it started with blood. And so after Moses gave them the law, he used the blood of calves and the blood of goats to confirm the covenant. And he actually told them, this blood confirms this covenant. And so every covenant, every agreement starts with blood. And so Moses used the blood of animals, but we have the blood of Jesus that starts the new covenant between us and God. Aren't you glad that we have a better relationship with God? Aren't you glad that the Bible tells us even that we can come boldly to the throne of grace? We have that access into the presence of the Lord. We have the access into the holies of holies because of the blood of Jesus. And so bloodshed begins covenants. You got it? Bloodshed begins covenants. What is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement. Say that. A covenant is what? It is an agreement. It is also a legally binding agreement. Hear that. It is a legally binding agreement. A covenant is also a contract. So the contract that we have is the word of God. That is our contract. That is our kingdom constitution. And we said last Sunday, if the word of God says that we can have it, we can have it. If the word of God says that we can do it, we can do it. If the word of God says that this is who we are, then this is who we are. I tell you all the time, stop letting people who did not create you define you. And stop letting people who did not die for you tell you what you can't do and what you should be doing. Come on. Because Jesus is the only one that has the right that says, this is who you are in me. That only makes sense, and that only excites people that have heard some things about yourself, come on, that you had trouble believing, or you've heard some things about yourself that you probably picked up and start believing. But I want to let you know today that the blood of Jesus cancels all those old contracts. It makes them null and void. The blood of Jesus cancels all of those old word curses, because he hung on the tree to be the curse for us. Somebody praise God right there for a new contract. But the contract is the word. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. I come in the volume of the book that was written about me. And so you were reading from Genesis to Malachi. You were reading about me. This word testifies about me, and here I am. Come on. And so Jesus' blood started this new covenant for us. When Jesus shed his blood, he brought us, listen, into a new agreement with God. Whew. And that's good news, because it's a better agreement. It is a better covenant. How do you know that? I know that because Hebrews 8 and 6, it says, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us. He negotiated for us. You missed it. He is the one that negotiated for us. He stood in the gap for us. He interceded for us and say, God, I know that they've sinned. I know that they were born in sin, but let's give them a better covenant. And you know what? I'll pay for it. Y'all don't know when to shout. He went into the courtroom of heaven and he negotiated a new covenant. The Bible says in Hebrews 8 and 6 that it is a far better covenant with God, and it's based on better promises. Oh, that's enough to shout on right there. It's based on better promises. It is a covenant based on relationship and not religion. It's a covenant that's based on promises and blessings for the righteous and not curses. I want to let you know something this morning. You don't live under a curse. I wish I had somebody to praise God. I know what you've been taught and I know what you've been told, but you don't live under a curse. Come on, Jesus took that curse for you. He took every curse and he said, instead of the curse, I'm going to give you a better promise. Come on, instead of the curse, I'm going to give you a better contract. We don't live under any type of curse because of the blood of Jesus. If you are living under a curse, you have to check if you're under the blood. And whatever area in your life that you feel like is cursed, bring it under the blood. I said, bring it under the blood. I said, bring it under the blood. Come on, my money, I bring it under the blood. My health, I bring it under the blood. My children, I bring them under the blood. Come on, my family, I bring them under the blood. Anything that I feel is cursed and not operating the way that it should be operating, I bring that under the blood of Jesus. And so his blood started a new and a better covenant, a new and a better agreement between God and man. Let's take a trip today. Last week we took a trip to Genesis. Let's take a trip to Matthew 26. And I want us to go back to the first communion service. Let's go back. Let's go to the first communion service, also called the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, and I'm going to read verses 26 through 28. You can study the rest in your meditation and devotion time. It says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. Listen carefully. This is my body, which is broken for you. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new and better covenant. Okay. I'm reading Amplified, which ratifies agreement and it's being poured out for many. So not just for you in the room. You know, sometimes we're in that mindset of this is for me. This is for us, four and no more. But Jesus said, you're in the room, but this blood is being poured out for everybody. Hallelujah. And it says that it ratifies the agreement and it is being poured out for many as a substitutionary atonement for the forgiveness of sins. And so we just went back to the first communion service and Jesus is telling them here, my blood starts a new agreement. It says, I believe in King James, that his blood ratifies a new covenant. The word ratify means to make the contract valid. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It means to make the contract valid. We've signed off on this. This is what it is. And so what we now call communion is the celebration of Jesus and the new and better covenant that he brought us by the blood of the Lamb. Does that make sense? I want to go back and read verse 28 in the New Living Translation. He says, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." Somebody ought to praise God, because you weren't in that room, but you were included in the many. He said, "This blood is to forgive the sins of many." That's why we say the blood still works. Come on. The blood still flows. Come on. It still reaches to the highest mountain. It still flows through the lowest valley. He shed his blood over 2,000 years ago, but the blood is still working. Come on. The blood is still flowing. Come on. The blood is still saving. The blood is still healing. The blood is still delivering. The blood is still cleansing. What can wash away my sins? It is nothing but the blood of Jesus. He shed his blood 2,000 years ago, and I still need it today. So it is very, let's keep walking this. It is very significant that Jesus told his disciples this during Passover. Passover. I want to go back up and read verse 17. It says, "On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread," which is also known as Passover, "the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Listen, where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?'" Verse 18, he says, "As you go into the city, you will see a certain man. Tell him, 'The teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house.'" So Jesus just borrowed somebody's house. Like, "I'm coming to your house to eat this meal. All right, open your doors. We're not having a discussion. We're coming to your house." Verse 19, I love Jesus. He's so. "The disciples did just as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there." Say Passover. Say it again, Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. We didn't read that, but verse 14 of Exodus 12, it is called a day to remember. That's what God said to Moses. Tell the people, Exodus 12, 14, that this day is a day to remember. And so Jewish people all over the world still celebrate this feast to this day. Traditionally, Jewish people celebrate Passover. Christians, believers, celebrate Resurrection Day. Jesus was born a man, and he died a man. He died a Jewish man. Okay, let me give you that point. He died a Jewish man. He lived a Jewish man. He was born a Jewish man. He died a Jewish man. And so it is not strange that he's celebrating Passover. Does that make sense? And so it is also symbolic that Jesus is celebrating Passover. Stay with me. Passover, again, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it is called this, and it is a yearly holy day that is set apart for the Israelites to observe their exodus from Egypt, particularly the passing over of the Israelite firstborn males when the firstborn of Egypt were struck down in the last 10 of the plagues. This leads us to our foundation text, because God in Exodus 12 is about to deliver the children of Israel from slavery and bondage in Egypt. Egypt means darkness, narrowness. They have been closed in for a while. If you're like me, I'm claustrophobic. I don't like closed in spaces. Don't close me in mentally. Don't close me in physically. You missed it. You missed it. They had been oppressed. That land was getting so tight for them. It was getting so narrow for them that now they have been oppressed. They've been afflicted, and they've been afflicted for many years at the hand of the Egyptians. But God, I love him, because he always has a plan. He was already raising up Moses and grooming Moses to deliver them. And so, of course, Pharaoh and the Egyptians did not want to let the slaves go. You know, who wants to let go of free labor, right? But it was time for them to be delivered. You missed it. You missed it. I said the land didn't want to let them go. The king didn't want to let them go, but it was time for them to be delivered. Maybe you missed it. Let me help you. Let me pause right here and help you. When it is your appointed time to be delivered, to be rescued, to be saved, to be liberated, it doesn't matter who wants you held captive. It doesn't matter what the enemy is doing or what he is trying to do. It doesn't matter what the enemy is planning. We serve a God that will always make a way of escape. And so when God got ready for them to be delivered, they had to be delivered. And it didn't matter what Pharaoh had to say about it. He said, "I've raised up a man to deliver my people. And now is the time. Somebody slap your neighbor high five and say, today is your day of deliverance. Today. Come on, tell them today. Today is your day of deliverance. Today is your divine come up. Come on, today is your divine come out. Today is the day that God has marked to deliver you from the oppression that the enemy has had you over. Somebody clap your hands and praise God in this place for the day of deliverance. It's my time. It's my time. It's my time. It's my time. It's not in my notes, but we read it. You remember that Moses told them, when you eat this meal, I got some instructions. Put your sandals on. You missed it when I read it. He said, keep your sandals on. Come on. Be fully dressed when you eat this meal. Come on. Don't be in your pajamas. Why? Because when I begin to make a way for you to come out, you got to be ready to pick your stuff up and pick your feet up and begin to move. Come on. Because as soon as this plague hits, Pharaoh's going to say, get out of Egypt. Let the people go. So if you believe in it's your day, you got to act like it's your day. Who am I preaching to today? If you believe it's your time, you got to act like it's your time. Come on. If you believe in God for the house, you got to pack for it. Come on. If you believe in God to open a Red Sea, come on. You got to get in front of the sea. Tell your neighbor, get out of your pajamas. Find one more neighbor and tell them, get out of your pajamas. It's time to go. Sit down. You're making me nervous. Psalm 34:17. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all of their troubles. Exodus 3:7 tells us that the children of Israel have been crying out, and they've been crying out for many years, but it was their time to be delivered. God said in Exodus 3:7, surely I have seen the affliction. God's been watching the whole time. He says, surely I've seen the affliction of my people who were in Egypt, and I have heard their cry. Woo, God, I thank you. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. And so Pharaoh, again, did not want to let them go. You've seen the Ten Commandments. Matter of fact, he refused to let them go. But Jehovah begins to apply some pressure. He released a total of 10 plagues. 10 diseases, 10 calamities upon the land of Egypt and the people of Egypt. Watch this. Plagues such as the water supply turned into blood. Still won't let them go. Frogs everywhere. An infestation of frogs. Still won't let them go. Lice. Still won't let them go. Flies. Still won't let them go. Pestilence that attacked the livestock. Still won't let them go. Boil. Still won't let them go. Locusts. Still won't let them go. Darkness. Gross darkness all over the land of Egypt. You still won't let them go. Hailstorm. You still won't let them go. But this final plague, it's going to touch you. It's going to get you. The final plague is recorded here in Exodus 12:12. This is the only one that got Pharaoh's attention. It says, on that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt. And I will strike down every firstborn son and every firstborn male animal. So wait a minute. This is not the kids. This is the animals too. Everything that's first got to go. He says, I will execute judgment against the gods, lowercase g, the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord Yahweh. So he says to them, I want you to kill this lamb and use the blood. Because listen, the blood of the lamb signified an agreement. Listen, an agreement between God and the children of Israel. And this agreement, this covenant, this contract has a promise attached to it. When I pass through the land of Egypt and I stop and see the blood, I won't know the Passover unless I see blood. That's why you have to obey the instructions. He said, when I see the blood on your doorpost, I will pass over the house that is marked by the blood. You missed it. I will pass over the house that is marked by the blood. And so death and disease passed over their house because of the mark of the blood. Watch this. Let's keep walking. Verse 5 tells us that the lamb had to be without blemish, right? It had to be no defects. In other words, this animal had to be their best. Watch it, because God always wants our best. He's given us his best, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he always gives the best, and so he requires of us that we give the best. Let's keep walking. The lamb also had to be a male. That's important. King James said that the lamb had to be a yearling. So that means that it's 1 year old. What does that mean? If the animal is 1 year old, that means that it's now near and dear to the family. It's been attached to the family. So don't sacrifice the lamb that was just born. No, I want you to sacrifice the lamb that has been in the family for a year. I want you to sacrifice the lamb that can come in the house every once in a while. I want you to sacrifice what's near and dear and close to you. What's the revelation? It's sacrifice. It costs something. Come on. If you bring God something that did not cost you anything, it's not a sacrifice, and he don't want it. Woo. And so this lamb, let's summarize it, had to be precious. The lamb had to be valuable. And the blood of the lamb would save them from death and destruction. Maybe you still think I'm talking about a lamb. In Exodus chapter 12. But let me help you catch up just in case you're lagging behind. Revelation 13 and 8 tells us that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. So before you got in trouble, God already had a sacrifice. Lord have mercy. Before you got into this situation, God had already created an open door for you to get out. Before you got into it, God says, I've already sacrificed my son for your sins. I've already sacrificed my son for your mistakes. Come on. He was slain before the foundation of the world. And so he is our Passover lamb. Say that with me. Jesus is my Passover lamb. So just like when God killed an animal in Genesis chapter 3 and used the skin of the animal to cover Adam and Eve, remember that? We brought that out last week, and we said that it was a prophetic foreshadowing of what Jesus would do when he died on the cross. He died to cover us. Yeah, yeah. So we'll put that same principle into Exodus chapter 12. They were instructed to kill a lamb, right? And put the blood on the doorpost so when God passed through the land, he would see the blood and pass over them. This is also a prophetic foreshadowing of what Jesus would do for us on Calvary with his blood. Text says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Somebody say, worthy is the Lamb. Now give him some worthy praise right there. But before I close, I want to do some more comparison, compare and contrast. Let's compare and contrast Exodus chapter 12 to Matthew 26. Remember that? So Matthew 26 is the Lord's Supper, First Communion. Let's compare and contrast Matthew 26 to Exodus 12. In Exodus, before the Passover lamb could be sacrificed, he had to be thoroughly inspected by a priest. Or a legal authority. Why would you have to go through an inspection? Because God said, bring something without blemish. Bring something with no defects. And so it was their custom in the Jewish community to present their lamb to the priest so that the priest could sign off on it. Okay, let me help you. Let's go to New Testament. Jesus is the perfect lamb. No defects. Perfect. Perfect. Now, before he was crucified, Luke 23 and 4, he had to appear before Pontius Pilate. Who is Pontius Pilate? He is the Roman governor in Judea. They brought a charge against Jesus. Yeah, and so Jesus had to appear before Pontius Pilate. And I love it because here in Luke 23 and 4, Pontius Pilate declared the Lamb of God guiltless. Y'all, you got to stay with me. He declared the Lamb of God perfect. Without blemish. He said, why are y'all crucifying this guy again? He said, I find no fault. I find no fault in this man. And so just like the lamb had to be inspected in Exodus, the Lamb of God had to be inspected in Matthew 26. He is the perfect lamb. Watch this. In Exodus, they had to choose the Passover lamb on the 10th day. I wonder, will somebody choose Jesus today? They chose him on the 10th day, and he was sacrificed, this lamb, on the 14th day. Watch it. Watch it. Jesus was chosen to die on the 14th day. And he gave up the ghost in the ninth hour, about 3 p.m., on the 14th day. Okay, his trial started on the 10th day. He was sacrificed on the 14th day. You missed it. You missed it. Jesus' trial started on the 10th day of the month. He was sacrificed. He was crucified on the 14th day of the month. And the 14th day of the month was Passover. Jesus was literally crucified on Passover day, the day that talked about him all the way back in Exodus chapter 12. Are y'all with me today? He says, I am the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He is the Passover lamb. He told Judas, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Because the time has come. Come on, you're delaying my time. Why are you still here at this table? And Jesus even told him, one of them is going to betray me. And Judas was like, is it going to be me? And Jesus, I love it. I shared this with the elect lady the other day. I love it. Jesus said, you've said it. Whatever you're going to do, do it quickly because the time has come. We got to eat this meal today because tomorrow I got to be hung up for your hangups. Lord have mercy. I have to become that Passover lamb. There can be no delays in the schedule because I got to get on this cross and I got to die on Passover. I got to fulfill the scripture that I'm chosen to die on the 10th day and I died on the 14th day. Come on, he is our Passover lamb. This is why he could tell the disciples, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. He said it earlier. They didn't get it. He said, if you don't eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you have no part with me. You have no part in the kingdom. And it said many departed that day. It's like this man is talking about drinking his blood and eating his body. It says, and many departed. And then he turned around to the disciples and asked, are you leaving also? Peter, I love him. I love him. Peter said, where are we going? You are the one that shows us the way to eternal salvation. You are the way. You are the truth. Where you are the life. Where are we going? So he is our Passover lamb. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 5:7. I'm almost there. In the Amplified Bible, it says, purge, clean out the old leaven, that you may be a fresh, new dough, uncontaminated, unleavened. Y'all missed it. Uncontaminated. No yeast in it. Come on, no extra. No additives. He said, you'd eat this bread and it's to be unleavened. It's to be unpleasant. Why? Because he says, this is going to make you uncontaminated. And it says, for Christ, our Passover lamb has already been sacrificed. Jesus is the Passover lamb and I am marked by his blood. I am covered by his blood. His blood covers me so well that what should have taken me out did not take me out. And it did not take me out because it couldn't take me out. His blood covers me so well, it covers you so well, that no matter what the enemy has planned for your life, whatever he has planned for your future, it can't take you out. It will not take you out. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're thoughts of good and not of evil. They're thoughts of peace. They're thoughts to give you hope in the future and an expected end. Come on. And so what should be taking you out even right now is not taking you out. And you need to know that it's because of the blood of Jesus. It's because of the mark of the blood that is on your life. Psalm 91:7, he said, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. That thing got to pass over me. It can't touch me. I said, it can't touch me. It got to pass over me because I've been marked by the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper because I've been marked by the blood of Jesus. Oh, watch this. It's not just your home. It's not just your home. It's not just a building only. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. and that Christ dwells on the inside of you. And so this mark is not just for your physical home. This mark is for your house. Come on. This mark is for you. I plead the blood over myself, not just my dwelling, but I plead the blood over me. Come on. And when the angel sees the blood, he must pass over. Testify to somebody next to you and tell them, I'm covered by the blood. As you stand, tell them, I'm covered by the blood. Come on, tell them, I'm marked by the blood. Come on, tell them, it has to pass over me. Come on, it has to pass over me. Come on, I've escaped the trap. Come on, I've escaped the snare. Come on, it has to pass over me because of the blood. Because of the blood. Because of the blood. Just throw your hands up all over the room and open up your mouth and thank him for the blood. Come on, come on. Thank him for the blood. Come on, thank him for the blood. Thank him for the cleansing blood, the saving blood. Come on, come on. Thank him for the power that's in the blood. Thank him for the mark of the blood. Come on, that whatever was planned for my life. Come on, come on, come on. You got to praise God. You praise him today because you don't know what the enemy has planned tomorrow. You praise him today because you don't know what the enemy set up for your future. But I'm praising God today because he's stopping the hand of the enemy. Come on, I'm praising God today. Come on, because the blood of the Lamb, he has to see the blood. Come on, he has to see the blood. Come on, lift your hands and open up your mouth and thank him for the blood. Thank him for where the blood is flowing that I can't even see yet. Thank him for what the blood is stopping that I don't know about. Thank him for the blood. Come on, lift your hands. Come on. Come on, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Come on, lift your hands and bless him. Bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. I thank you for the blood. Come on, I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the blood that covers my future. I thank you for the blood that covers my family. I thank you for the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. I thank you for the blood. I thank you. Come on, come on. There's a worship in the room. Come on, there's a worship online. Come on, I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the Passover. I thank you for the blood. I thank you for your sacrifice. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, Lord. Come on, come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy to receive glory. Worthy to receive strength. How excellent are you, Lord? How excellent are you? Yeshua, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Say no weapon formed
for the snare set by your enemies. If you believe it, say you. There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
Although they've set a snare, a trap, I want you to know it won't work. Ooh, no, no, no.
There just ain't one.
Ain't one.
There just ain't one.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.